listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and with me is co-host extraordinaire, psychologist, Dr. Melody Fox. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Melody, tell me, is it just me, or is this year flying by?
This year is definitely flying by. It's going by really fast. I can't believe it's going to be Thanksgiving in just a few days.
Yeah, I thought that we did a show right after Halloween, like yesterday, wasn't it?
Just about.
That's what it seems like. Well, I love the holidays, and with the holidays coming, the topic for today's show is a new book that promises to reconnect and bring families closer together. This book brings the joy of holiday traditions and entertainment to children, adults, and seniors, and it does it all year long. I found this book to be a wealth of information, including the history of each holiday, quotes, insights, songs, quizzes, and skits that can be performed and enjoyed by all of us, no matter what our age. And our guest that's going to bring us this book is Cornell Christensen. Cornell is a playwright and a producer. He produced the award-winning television series, The Paper Chase, which starred John Houseman. He wrote the musical comedy play entitled It Came From Beyond, which earned him two Ovation Award nominations for Best in Theater, including Best Musical and Best Writing of a Musical. He has adapted this work into a screenplay, which is now being prepared to come out on film, as well as opening on Broadway. He's written the most comprehensive holiday book I've ever seen, entitled Holiday Skits and Contests. Cornell, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. I'm glad to be here, and thank you, Melody. And yes, the year has gone by so fast. One holiday just follows the next. Yes.
But what's really exciting is your book has things for every holiday throughout the entire year. That's really exciting.
Yes, it's got history, quizzes, prayers, and songs for holidays for every single month, a total of 22 American holidays, including all 10 federal holidays.
All right. Well, you know, I was enjoying reading the history of each holiday, and I was surprised at how many I didn't know. I mean, for instance, that Mother's Day was started by a group of mothers coming together to create a world without war. I also found many of the prayers very touching and poetic.
Yes, and the prayers are non-denominational. They're historic prayers, the prayer Ben Franklin said every day, or ancient prayers like St. Patrick's Prayer. In fact, here's a Mother's Day prayer. May the blessing of the divine be especially bright upon mothers everywhere on your blessed day on Mother's Day. That was by an author unknown. My family keeps the book in the dining room, and for each holiday dinner, someone reads the prayer for that holiday.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. That's really great on that. There's a lot of quotations in there, too, especially I was looking through. There's one in particular I liked by Marianne Williamson where they said, love is what we are born with, fear is what we're learning here. And I think what's nice about this book is you get a chance to share love and fun and laughs with your whole family and learn more about loving and giving during the holiday season, or any holiday for that matter.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yes. And there's holiday quizzes that are educational and a lot of fun. In fact, here's one. Here's a quiz question. At the first Thanksgiving, did they eat turkey? The answer is no. There was no turkey. They ate duck, geese, and gear.
Wow, that's a whole smorgasbord of other foods than we have now.
Turkeys at Thanksgiving.
Do you know how we came about to eating turkey for the holidays by any chance? I'm just curious.
Well, later on, they discovered turkeys in North America, and the Indians introduced them to them, and they became they bred them, and they slowly became part of Thanksgiving. Yes.
And I also notice in your book you have jokes for every single holiday. Number one, where did you find all these jokes, and can you tell us one?
The internet is full of thousands and thousands of jokes for every holiday, but most of them are terrible jokes. They're just not funny. So I spent hours and hours and hours looking at thousands and thousands to find the very best ones. For example, with Thanksgiving coming up, why did the police arrest the turkey? They suspected it of foul play. What happened when the turkey got into a fight? He got the stuffing knocked out of him. So these jokes are all clean and suitable for children. They've been carefully selected because the internet is full of dirty jokes also, and I didn't go near any of those.
Well, that's good. It makes it more family friendly.
Yes,
definitely.
For some of the holidays, you have famous quotations like I mentioned one earlier, and you have group songs for each holidays. And do most families sing now, or can they sing, or should they sing, or what do you think?
They should sing. Many enjoy singing, and I selected songs that are the most famous songs and the many traditional songs from hundreds of years ago, and I put in only the famous part of the song that everyone knows. So if you're with a group of people and they don't have the book handy or a copy of the lyrics, most cases they know the song, you know, Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here, or Auld Lang Syne. So people love these songs, and they love singing them together, whether it's at a nursing home, at a school, or a family getting together to sing some holiday songs.
Yeah, you know, Cornell, it seemed to me that the part of the book that really brings families together the most are the skits in the contest. Did you write all of them yourself?
Yes, I did. They're all original. They're all fun comedies, and most important, they're easy to do for any age group or even senior citizens. I do suggest a few props or costume ideas, but you don't need them. You can just pantomime everything. Kids love to do these holiday skits at home, and I also have kids perform the skits at nursing homes, which brings joy and laughter to the elderly. There are 20 original skits and contests that I wrote, and some involve the legendary characters, which are Father Time, Mother Nature, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and a new legendary character I created called Miss Valentine. So adults or children, they can play Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Betsy Ross, Pecos Bill, the famous cowboy, Slewfoot Sue, the famous cowgirl, Snow White, Horton the elephant, Pirate Pete, the pilgrims, the big bad wolf, and the most famous witches of film and television.
So which witches are the most famous that you can think of? I can think of Samantha, and I can think of the Wicked Witch of the West when they play Wizard of Oz. What are some of the other witches?
You're going to have to wait. We may do the Which Witch's Wish contest later.
Oh, no.
You may have to wait to get the answer to that.
Okay, and I wait with bated breath here.
All right. Well, who's your favorite character? And in doing the skits, who do you usually play?
I usually emcee the skits, and I have children play most of the parts. Some young children, as young as 6, up to teenagers, play the parts. Abraham Lincoln's skit is very funny. Father Time is very funny. Oh, I play Santa Claus. There's one that I play. I do put on the Santa Claus suit. I'll be doing a number of performances in December at different nursing homes and hospitals. And Pecos Bill is very funny, the cowboy part. And you should ask about my original character that I created called Miss Valentine.
I love that.
Valentine didn't have a character, you know. Well, they have Cupid.
Yeah, Cupid.
But, you know, a little baby in diapers flying around. What can you do with that, right? So Miss Valentine, her task is to make sure that all the Valentines get delivered to the lovers. That's her job. And she completes that every year. And that's what the skit is about. So,
well, that sounds better. That sounds better than getting stuck with an arrow.
Yeah,
exactly. What's that?
Now you have
exactly. You want to get your Valentine from your lover. You want to know that your Valentine got delivered when you mailed it.
Exactly. Yeah. And thanks to Miss Valentine, it does get there. Now, you say you have holidays for every month. And I noticed in the book there's not a month missing, several pages of songs, quizzes, jokes, prayers, etc. But what do you do for August, which has no official holidays that I know of?
That's right, Melody. There's no holiday in August. That's the one month that doesn't have any holidays. So what we do is we celebrate National Clown Week, which is the second week in August. But we celebrate it all month, and we wear red noses, and we do the best laugher contest, where each person in the room or in the family does each type of laughter. So they'll go, ha, 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 or ho, 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 or he, 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 he. We do all the laughters, 10 different kinds, and then a judge selects the winner. But everyone wins because they get to do 10 different kinds of laughter. And in places like nursing homes, it just opens up the audience, and they just get engaged, and they get uplifted. It's unlike you've ever seen. And likewise, in September, yes, we have Labor Day, but that's not a lot of fun. So we celebrate National Dog Week, which is the last week in September, but we celebrate it all month, and we honor all animals. And for the best animal sound contest, we get everyone making animal sounds, and everyone can do that, and they have such fun doing it. And then in October, for Halloween, we do the best monster sound contest, which is a big winner for kids and for senior citizens, because they just come alive as they roar, and they growl, and they hiss, and they do all the monster sounds, and then we declare them all winners. It's just so much fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun, and I could actually picture Alan making some of those sounds, too.
Oh, he'd be great.
Sometimes he comes growling in the morning. But I know for me, as far as laughter goes, I mean, laughter is such great medicine. It changes the chemicals in the brain.
Yes.
It gets more oxygen into your bloodstream and your muscles, and you can think clear. And I know there's actually a laugh class that I go to on Saturdays when I'm around this one particular city, because every Saturday morning they have laugh class, and all you do is you go ha 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 ho, 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 in all different ways for almost an hour. I can't tell you what a natural high you're in by the time you leave.
That's great. In fact, I want to come to the class with you.
Great. I'll tell you where it is.
Yeah.
But I think just getting together and sharing that laughter is so important with the families, and being able to connect on that level in ways that, you know, people aren't doing that anymore. They barely sit down to eat dinner together, let alone laugh together or share a joke
or
do something funny or sing. Yeah, I know for me growing up, they always said, please don't, you get me off key. So to be able to sing.
And all these skits are full of jokes. That the basis of these skits are just making fun of the characters and the situation. So it's full of laughs. And yes, in August, part of National Clown Week, we celebrate Patch Adams, who was the doctor who brought laughter to hospitals and got people to heal through laughter. And that's very important, a part of what we do when we go into nursing homes. We're healing through laughter, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Every month, every holiday.
And I know up in Berkeley, they have called the Laugh Czar. There's doctors up there that study laughter. I did a whole paper on my master's about laughter, so
nice.
I like it so much. It's so important to be
laughter
able to laugh.
Is the key to this book, and the key to all the work I've been doing is getting people laughing and engaged, and they just come alive.
Well, Cornell, I see why one reviewer said, and I quote, "This book would be a fabulous resource for teachers and recreation directors, and it would also make a great coffee table book in family rooms." Tell us what you think the importance of this book is to families more specifically.
For families, yeah. Well, first of all, children need to know about the traditions of holidays, how each holiday came about and why we celebrate it. Most children don't know the origin of these holidays and the importance. And then there's the need for families to reconnect, to do activities together that are fun and easy to do, that not only kids and adults, but even senior citizens can all do together. Holidays are the perfect time for families to come together, and that's the purpose of this book.
And I also think it relieves a lot of the family stress and tension that comes up around the holidays. I'm sure that plays a big part into it, when you're able to play and laugh and just have fun and remember what it's like to be a family.
Absolutely.
I was also seeing that in your introduction, you say this book is a far is a cry for help for our senior citizens, our families, and our schools. And I was curious on what you meant by that.
Well, what I mean is that this book is all about interaction. It brings people together. It provides entertainment that is engaging. You've got sing-along songs to be sung by the whole group or the whole room full of senior citizens. It's got quizzes to be answered. It's got jokes and skits to laugh at. It's got contests to participate in. What I see when I go around to these many nursing homes and schools is they often have professional entertainment, and it's music, and it's quality, but it puts the senior citizens to sleep in their wheelchairs, and I see the children bored and talking to each other. Now, don't get me wrong, music is powerful. It's healing, it's soothing, and it's wonderful. But it could be so much more if it's engaging and it's interactive and the people are singing along with you and participating and doing not only music, but doing answering quizzes, taking part in contests and skits, telling jokes, all the other things that are in this book. So that's what I meant, that we need interactive, engaging entertainment like this everywhere: nursing homes, schools, homes, clubs, hospitals, anywhere we can bring it to.
Well, I noticed you've put a lot of work into this book with a lot of different variety of things that people could do, and I was curious, how have you gone about testing the material in the book to make sure it actually works?
Well, I've been doing this for 7 years, and I've led and organized over 400 volunteer shows in many, many venues, nursing homes, convalescent hospitals, senior centers, veterans homes and veterans hospitals, children's hospitals, schools, recreation centers. So this material has been tested and improved over all these years in all these many locations. In addition, my material has been used by teachers and activities directors for many years, and they have been giving me feedback, and in fact, many of them are on the back of my book thanking me for providing this material that their residents, their patients, and their children have just benefited so much by.
Now, Cornell, how did you get involved in these volunteer shows?
Hello?
Oh, I said, Cornell, I said, how did you get involved in the volunteer shows to begin with?
I'm a practitioner at Agape International Spiritual Center, and I became the director of their ministry called the Agape Roadshow, which does volunteer shows in Los Angeles and the New York City area. So we do 7 shows a month, usually in nursing homes and convalescent hospitals. And many of our performers are children, some as young as 6 years old, who perform the skits that are in my book. So that's how I got involved in doing this, through a church.
So did you start doing it at the Agape Center in Los Angeles?
Well, I am a practitioner from that center, and I began working with the, which is an outreach ministry, to hospitals and nursing homes to do musical shows. And then I became the director of the ministry. And even though I've moved now to New York City, where I'm running shows here, I'm still organizing the shows in Los Angeles. We do 4 shows a month in Los Angeles, 3 shows a month here in the New York City area. And through these shows, I just kept writing more and more material until finally I realized I had enough material for a book and a chance to get this material out to a bigger audience to be used by, there are 16,000 nursing homes and 38,000 assisted living homes. Those 54,000 places should have this book for their activities director to utilize. Like, I have one activities director right now in Maywood, New Jersey, and she's got the book. She's had it for months now, and she won't let it out of her hands, she tells me. She photocopies the pages for that holiday and gives it to her staff people to utilize for that holiday. And she keeps that book hidden in her desk so that it doesn't get lost. So hopefully this will happen at nursing homes and assisted living homes throughout the country, as well as schools and families.
Well, what do you think about the families maybe getting together and volunteering to go to the assisted living facilities or retirement homes or children's centers and actually doing these skits and contests themselves to interact and volunteer?
Absolutely. And the starting point should be they have someone, a loved one, in a nursing home. And, well, first of all, they should buy this book and donate it to the nursing home where their loved one is so that the material can be used regularly there. Then they should go to that nursing home and do some of the entertainment in it for loved ones and some of the neighbors in the rooms nearby. And they could actually get even more involved and do a more formal show like we do, but where you actually put on the skits. It would be a wonderful thing, not only for families, but also church groups could get involved in doing this locally. There's many types of people who could just organize themselves and start giving service, because by giving service and giving love, we get back so much love from the work we do.
Absolutely. Maybe after we get off, I'm going to need you to give me a list of when the next shows are going to be at the LA Center, because I've been there before. I love it. I've seen some shows, but I haven't seen these skits. So I want to bring my family. I want to go, and I want to be able to see the skits as well.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not at the LA Center. Not at the church.
Okay.
They're out in the nursing homes.
Okay.
In Santa Monica and Culver City. So we go out to the schools and the convalescent centers and do the performances there.
Okay.
That's how that works.
Have you ever thought about doing a community show at the church and inviting the community to come in and be a part of it?
Well, that would be a way to introduce the material to some people, but we're actually trying to get pieces of the material and some of the skits up on the internet so people can see it there and learn them and perform them. But we try to go out to people who are in need, particularly people who are bedridden, who can't get out of facilities, who don't get much entertainment because budgets are cut back now. Sometimes we're the only visitors they get. They don't have any even families. So those are the type of places we like to go to, and we do it every weekend, and it's a big commitment, but that's what we've been trying to accomplish.
Well, Cornell, I'll tell you what. I mean, I think everybody knows that one of the things that, that my company does is we do transport, and if you have anybody out there that you want to be able to come to one of your shows and they need a way there, just call, let me know. I'll have some of my people pick them up and bring them to wherever it is that you need them to be able to fully appreciate what it is you guys are doing.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right. Now for organizing these volunteer shows, I understand the New Jersey State Senate awarded you a citation for your dedication that will serve to inspire and encourage others to serve their communities. Tell us about that.
Yes. The state senator came to the nursing home and presented us a certificate and presented one to me for my work organizing and leading these, and they took a photo for the newspaper, and it was a very nice honor from the New Jersey State Senate, who appreciated the work we've been doing at the big Bergen Regional Medical Center in Paramus, New Jersey, where it's the largest psychiatric hospital in New Jersey, the largest nursing home in New Jersey also there. We were just there on Saturday for 3 hours doing the material in this book. Teenagers in the psychiatric ward, they love doing the jokes and answering the quiz questions and watching our silly characters perform the skits. It was great to uplift and entertain these kids and get them engaged. They got up and danced with us and sang the songs with us, and it was wonderful.
Well, I think it's great. It's such a fabulous book, too. It's such a nice resource, and I think everybody should have it in their family, and a great stocking stuffer, too, if I can plug it for that. But how can people purchase or get a hold of this book for themselves or to share with the community around them?
Well, you can buy it at Amazon.com. The name of the book is Holiday Skits and Contests by Cornell Christensen, and buy it there at Amazon.com. Most people have accounts there, and you can also you can also see the table of contents there. You can read the first 20 pages of the book and learn more about the book there at Amazon.com.
All right. We're going to go. We're going to be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families.
That started a little bit early. We're talking with Cornell Christensen. The book is Holiday Skits and Contests. We'll be right back.
In crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back. We are talking with Cornell Christensen. The book is Holiday Skits and Contests. Now, Cornell, I know that you share something about yourself, and you do this in an effort to show how thinking differently can truly be a blessing. Tell us, how did you come to be diagnosed 10 years ago with Asperger's syndrome, which, for those that don't know, is a form of high-end autism?
Well, it was 10 years ago that I heard for the first time about Asperger's syndrome. I hadn't heard about it. In fact, it's fairly new as an area that's been diagnosed. And it was a revelation to me. I said, that sounds like me. So I went to the UCLA Autism Evaluation Clinic in Westwood. I did hours of tests and interviews. And the psychiatrist there concluded that my Asperger's syndrome is mild because I can support myself and I've been able to work. In fact, in a study at Yale, only 15% of adults with Asperger's could work a job. She said, I am dysfunctional in mating, in social situations, and in organizational work settings, which explains why I never did get married. And I've always worked alone as a writer, working in my home office in my apartment, as opposed to being out in a business or in an organizational setting. Those jobs didn't work out for me. I tried them and was unable to do them.
Well, it seems like you found a good niche for yourself, because I'm sure a lot of spouses of writers don't really care for their spouse to lock themselves up in a room for hours and days and months writing books or whatever they're writing and ignoring them. So it seems like you've really found a really good place for yourself and where your creativity and blessings are to share with others. I think that's wonderful. And I kind of know the answer to this, but I was just curious for everybody else if you could answer, what are the treatments, if any, are there for Asperger's?
Can you say that again?
Are there any treatments or anything to help with Asperger's, or do you just learn how to live with it for the rest of your life?
Oh, right, yeah, there's no drugs for Asperger's. There's just getting therapy for it, and I did join a support group, and I saw a spiritual counselor on a regular basis. The psychiatrist pointed out that my church has been a great help to me, and she had me read books on Asperger's and go to some conferences and learn more about it. The psychiatrist concluded that I have no ability to read other people, men or women. I can't read them. I don't get body language or facial recognition. In fact, I read people's lips to try to better understand what they're saying. So I have difficulty processing auditory information. I never make eye contact with people. I'm always looking at their lips and reading them, which makes women uncomfortable. So I've always had an inability to bond with women.
And how do you, I mean, that's some of the negative parts of having this disorder is, but what are the positive things? How do you think Asperger's has actually helped you, and what's been positive about it, and what made you seek treatment in the first place, too, if we could backtrack a little bit?
Yeah, well, I've learned that I think differently than other people. I think in pictures and structures, but this has helped me in writing stories that have a, you know, beginning, middle, and an end, plays, screenplays, because I can see the structure of the story in my head before any writing gets done, or I can see the structure of a movie before I begin writing it. Even this holiday book that I've written, it's called people have said it's very Aspie, with all its lists and categories. It's very structured. Well, the psychiatrist told me to embrace my Asperger's and enjoy it, which I have. I have to say I'm a very happy person, and I'm very blessed.
And Cornell, I mean, what would you tell young people that have recently gotten diagnosed with this? And what would you want to tell them as to how they can embrace it as you have?
Well, I would say that we have special talents and abilities due to Asperger's that other people don't have, and to embrace those, to work with those, and be thankful for them as I am. See them as a blessing because they can open up a wonderful life for you. There are many books out now from people with Asperger's and how they've succeeded in music or in a concert producing, just different areas, utilizing their special talents. So embrace it, accept it, and enjoy it, and be thankful for it because it can still make a wonderful life for you.
Well, I know you've been active in helping others with Asperger's. Please share with us, you know, what you have done maybe to help with the studies that will be able to help those in the future.
Yes. Since I've been in New York here, I've been able to take part in several important medical studies in New York City of adults with Asperger's, including studies at NYU Hospital, Bellevue Hospital, New York Presbyterian Hospital, and Rutgers Medical School in New Jersey. In these studies, I completed hours of questionnaires, and then I took these visual tests while being hooked up to a brain scan. And after these tests, they showed me the results of the brain scan. And when people with autism, not only Asperger's, but any autism, take part in these visual tests, their brain activity occurs at a different place in the brain than normal people. They showed me that all their autism test subjects have their brain activity in the same place, but higher up on the brain than normal people. So there is a different, as I said earlier, I think in pictures and structures, there's a different brain activity going on for people with autism.
All right. You know, we received some questions and some comments, and we've got a question that was emailed into us. And by the way, as I like to say for everybody, I appreciate that. Please continue to send those in, and we will do everything we can to get them answered. Now, our first question says, we love the holidays. Our challenge is getting our teens to participate. What activities do you feel this age group would enjoy?
Well, we have many teens involved in doing our shows at the nursing homes, and they like performing the skits. For those who are more musically inclined, love singing the group songs. But the favorite seems to be the trivia questions. The teens like to quiz themselves on the questions and show how smart they are and see how much they know. So that seems to be the most popular part of the activity, where everyone could get together. You know, it's almost like playing the game Trivia Pursuit, only not so formal. It's just people reading a few quiz questions back and forth pertaining to the holiday. And then if they wanted to, they could actually participate in one of the skits, particularly if there's younger children also there who like to get involved. The older children like to often perform with the younger children. I mean, teenagers working with their young brothers and sisters can be a very fun family activity.
Well, having been accused of being an overgrown teenager that's never grown up, why don't you throw a couple of those questions at Melody and I, and let's see how we do with the trivia.
Oh, great. Put me on the spot. Thanks a lot.
Okay, well, let's take, we might as well, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, right?
Sure.
And let's do a Thanksgiving question. And well, one thing I often do in my questions is have three answers, you know, multiple choice answers. That makes it much easier not only for children to just pick one, but also senior citizens have a choice. So, a turkey has how many thousands of feathers? 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000?
3,000.
4,000.
4,000. Alan is the winner.
Hey.
I just started,
and
yeah,
the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, I just
we're doing
you,
the wave.
Well, you don't know the answer, you go for the middle, right?
not always.
I think okay, that was on SATs.
About, all right. This one is at the first Thanksgiving. Which were there more of, pilgrims or Indians? So 50-50 chance here.
Indians.
I go with Indians, too.
You're both right. There were 50 pilgrims and 90 Indians.
Wow.
Okay. The all-time biggest turkey weighed 50 pounds, 80 pounds, or 100 pounds?
Oh, well, let's go for 100.
Let's go for 80.
80 is correct.
Oh.
Alan's too good here. All right, here's a tougher one. What state produces the most turkeys?
Texas?
Okay, well, let's see. Are we talking about people that act like turkeys, or are we talking... wow, I don't know. Pennsylvania.
Nice. Close. North Carolina.
Okay.
You were in the right vicinity.
Okay.
All right, how about this? On Thanksgiving Day, what percentage of U.S. homes eat turkey?
80%?
Yeah, is this multiple choice, or are we just...
Yeah, multiple choice. Okay. The answers are 70%, 80%, or 90%.
Let's say 80%.
70?
90%.
Really?
Wow.
I'm surprised. I have a friend who's Italian, and she always does lasagna.
And people do ham. So all right, let's go to Christmas Day.
Okay.
What percentage of U.S. homes eat turkey? 50%, 60%, or 70%?
50?
Day.
70.
What'd you say, Alan?
50.
Correct. Alan is the winner again.
Oh, I'm going to owe you big time, Alan. You're just too good at this.
All right, at the first Thanksgiving, did they eat pumpkin pie? Yes or no?
50-50 no.
Chance there.
I'm going to go with no also.
Do you know why it's no?
They didn't have pie crust?
Because they had sweet potatoes instead?
They didn't have milk. They didn't have milk or butter to make the pies.
Ah, okay.
So I
but
like
did, they eat did they eat pumpkin at the first Thanksgiving, when the pilgrims and Indians got together? Did they eat pumpkins?
Sure, why
yes
not?
No?
I'm thinking acorns of some
I'd say yes. They probably ate some
yes.
part of it.
They ate boiled pumpkins. That's correct. Boiled pumpkins.
You know what I really like about this is you learn so much. I love trivia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can never remember it, but I love it when I learn it.
It's educational. All right, at the first Thanksgiving, what did the pilgrims drink?
Wine.
That was going to be my thought. Ale. Not coconut juice.
People still traditionally drink it at Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Often hot.
Apple cider.
Yes, apple cider.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, I got one. My favorite.
All right.
Yeah, you got one. How many days did the first Thanksgiving last? 1 day, 2 day, or 3 days?
3 days.
3 days.
Correct. 3 days.
You're going to party. Why not?
That's right.
Don't we have
How many pilgrims were on the Mayflower? 50, 75, or 100?
75.
50?
100. Neither of you got that.
Ah, boo.
The pilgrims sailed across the Atlantic in how many days? 66, 77, or 88?
88?
77.
66.
Ah.
Oh, we got shut out again.
Oh, well.
Name the Thanksgiving pie that some people say is better than pumpkin pie.
Sweet potato?
Yes, very good.
Whoa.
I love sweet potato
Me too.
Pie. It's hard to find a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't do mincemeat.
No, you have to try it.
I know, I try it, but I just, you know, I mean, I can have a couple of bites, but then that's it. I can do pumpkin, sweet potato, and I love pecan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Okay, my mouth is watering now.
Right.
You know, I could do this all day. I love trivia. I'm one of those people that always turns on anything with trivia. So this is really great. Are there some other things you could share with us, Cornell?
Yeah, let's try the Which is Which contest. Let's see how you guys do.
Okay.
These are famous witches from television and film.
Okay.
I'll read the witches part, the hint, and then you guess which it is.
Okay. Do we have to chime in? Ding ding.
And I do want to say the people listening at home, go ahead and play along with us. That's what's fun about this.
Absolutely.
That's right. Okay. First witch clue. Dorothy, what have you done? I'm melting.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Yes. The hint is I was in The Wizard of Oz, The Wicked Witch of the West.
Wow, I've grown up with that film. I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's a harder one. As punishment for your actions, Harry Potter, 50 points will be taken, and to ensure it doesn't happen again, you have detention for 3 weeks.
I can never remember the names.
Oh, I can picture the actor, but I can't, I can't think of his character name.
And people listening at home are going, I know it because I've seen it. So
no, it's the headmistress.
Oh,
the mistress.
The headmistress.
At Harry Potter's Wizarding School.
Okay, then it's not even the one I thought it was. Okay, so it's not.
It's the one I thought of, but I can't remember her name.
I can't either.
I am Minerva.
Minerva.
Okay, next witch. I'm not a bad witch. I'm a good witch. My mother, Endora's a bad witch.
Oh, Samantha.
Yes.
Very good. From the television show Bewitched.
I have to say, okay. I just interrupting here, I love Bewitched and all those shows I grew up with, and I had foot surgery about a year ago. And I was laying up in bed, and I love Hulu.com, because giving them a plug here, because I sat in bed with my foot up, not being able to get out to the living room to watch TV, so I watched every single episode
of Bewitched.
And I Dream of Jeannie and all those other fun things I grew up with.
That's good. All right, next witch. Casper, this has been the best day of my life. Oh, sorry, Casper, you don't have a life.
Huh.
There was a witch that said that?
I am a good witch and friend of Casper the Ghost.
Wow.
No.
I am Wendy the Good Witch.
Oh, that's right. Wendy was a witch.
Wendy is the Good Witch. All right, here's a warlock question. We often have a male who wants to play a witch.
Okay.
One of the young boys wants to be a witch. So we put a black hat on him, different from a witch's hat. And he says, Lancelot always saved everything to the last moment. And my memory of Lancelot is that he never got anything right.
Merlin?
Yes, very good.
Nice.
Merlin the Warlock. Yes.
Nice.
And the last one is, the witch says, dip the apple in the brew. Let the sleeping death seep through.
Oh, the one from Sleeping Beauty.
Beauty.
No, Snow White.
No,
Snow White.
Yes,
Snow White.
Who tried to poison her with the apple.
But what was her name?
She's just the Wicked Witch from Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay, great.
Wow, which witch
She's
is
also
witch?
A wicked queen. She's a witch and a queen.
She was not a very nice mother, stepmother.
Yes.
And that's how not to be a stepmother. You could learn from these fairy tales on how not to be one.
That's right. Cornell, we have another comment that came in. Again, this is a listener that sent in a comment, and it says, during my childhood in the 70s, there seemed to be more family spirit. It was a time to relax, play games, create activities, and do together and enjoy being at home. I'm excited to buy your book and will be sharing it with my friends and students in hopes that it will inspire them to move away from the TV and put down their iPods for at least a spell. This book is the kind of creativity and inspiration that families can greatly benefit from. Many thanks for such great ideas.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. So, and my guess is that this is probably someone that got the press release, maybe can't listen right now, but was able to probably go to Amazon and read the first few pages or whatever and order it. So again, to share with everybody, the book is titled Holiday Skits and Contests. Again, it can be purchased at Amazon.com, and as you can see, we highly recommend it. And as Melody just said, it probably be a great gift or a stocking stuffer as well.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, it's just not for the holidays. I mean, we're doing Thanksgiving and Halloween, little jokes and things here and skits and quizzes. But it has it all year round. And I have to say, Cornell, my favorite chapter is the one for February with Valentine's Day. That is my favorite day of the whole year. I think we should be celebrating that every single day of the year. But I just really love everything you have about the history of Valentine's Day and the Valentine's Day prayer and the quizzes and the quotations about love, and there's even songs that he picked out to put in there and skits, and I just with Miss Valentine, and I think it's absolutely marvelous.
Well, Cornell, I think that if she likes Valentine's Day that much, you should quiz her on it.
Oh no.
we've got a few more minutes, so let's quiz her, and then, you know, if you could share with us also after that one of the histories of one of the holidays that people probably don't realize that that's how it got started.
Okay, sure, I can do that. Let's see. What famous saying came from the Valentine's Day custom of picking a name from a bowl to see who your Valentine will be and wearing it for a week on your sleeve?
Wow. I have.
I don't have a clue.
No, Al and I are
wearing your heart on your sleeve.
Oh. Where did that come from? I mean, why did they do that? To pin it on their sleeve?
Wearing your heart on your sleeve. It makes perfect sense, but I didn't have any idea.
But where did that come from, putting names or whatever in a bowl and pulling it out and putting it on your sleeve?
I don't know. Where the saying came from.
Right.
I'm just a curious person, that's all. Uh-huh. Don't mind me at all, Cornell.
Okay, what percentage of Valentine cards are purchased by women?
Oh, if men were smart, it would be 100%, but...
I don't have a multiple choice on that one. I'm sorry.
Probably 80%?
No. Correct. How did you get that?
Oh, well...
I'm a woman.
Yeah, I was going to say that. 80% are purchased by women, I was going to say like 60% or something. I mean, I figured it was probably more, but I didn't think
more
it was that much more. Yeah, I thought it was going to be more balanced.
And what I find is interesting, a lot of the Valentines now are just between, you know, lovers and sweethearts and all that. But it used to be years and years ago, you'd make your own Valentine, you'd give it to your best friends, you'd give it to the kids at school, you know, you'd exchange it with everybody. And now there seems to be a stigma of doing that. You know, people are left out, they don't get it, or, you know, you have to be careful. There's all this PC stuff now about giving Valentines, which I think is silly.
Right.
I think you should be able to give your heart and love to everybody. That would be nice.
Well, and I'm still stuck on that 80% thing. Hey, guys, the guys that are listening out there, come on, kick it in gear. Come on.
Yeah, and there's eval. I get e-Valentines now on my computer.
Yeah.
That are animated and full of music and are a lot of fun.
You know, they are a lot of fun, but I don't know about other women. I could only speak for myself, but I love a real card.
Yeah, right.
I mean, put your handwritten sentiment into it, and I understand you could make up your own text on the emails, and those are fun, and they're, you know, animated and all that, but it's not something you could print out and keep or put in a favorite book as a bookmark, and especially if it's from someone that you really love and want to hold on to, you'd like to be able to put it in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think for those that we are very, very close to, our dear loves, I agree. And I would prefer to get it, but I also enjoy giving, you know, a real card. But for the many, many friends, and as the world has gotten so much smaller and we have met people from all over the world, I love the fact that with email that we can get a heartfelt message out to many people. So, I mean, to me, it's just gotten better. We have the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. And what's nice about this book is it really does share the love with each other. I really think the laughter, changing those chemicals in the brain, you feel better, you feel more connected. And that's so important these days because a lot of families seem to be drifting apart.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Cornell?
Yes, exactly. We need to reconnect families. I visit families, and one's over in one TV, and one's over on another TV doing a video game, and another one is playing with their cell phone, and there's no interaction. The parents are on the phone, and it's very noisy, is what I find.
Right.
And it's no wonder people are so nervous and anxious.
Well, they're not noisy with laughter. That's what I don't see. It's the laughter.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Noisy is great if it's laughing and it's singing and things like that. But just the general noise of having the television in one background and a radio in another, and to where we're not really interacting with each other as much. is what I'm finding with a lot of the families that we work with a lot of the families when we go out and we're picking somebody up to take them off to a program, and it's really disheartening sometimes, you know, when you get there and the parents are sitting there and they're watching TV and they point to the room and go, they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
And go, you know, that could be part of the problem.
Everybody isolates themselves. But there are times to isolate yourself, like when you're writing such a wonderful book.
Absolutely.
It's fabulous. I absolutely love it. And all the work and time. And speaking about time, how much time did it take you to write this? I mean, how long? There is a lot of information in here.
Yes. Well, when I decided to write the book, I gathered all the material from all the years and hundreds of shows that I'd done, and I had 150 pages of material, but I proceeded to write another 250 pages, and it took, 8 or 9 months of steady work, focused work, because there were many holidays we hadn't been celebrating, certainly not Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Labor Day,
Clown Week,
Columbus Day we never celebrated, because Halloween is that month, and that's our favorite. I'd say Halloween's probably our favorite holiday, mm-hmm. to be able to dress up and be a character.
Well, Cornell, I got to tell you, we are all happy that you put the time into this to get this done.
Yes, thank you.
And with your permission, I would love to, during the show from time to time, for us to be able to just throw out a little bit of your trivia questions as we get close to certain holidays, just to remind people to communicate with each other, and that there are great books like this out there that they can get to help them communicate with their own family. So again, Cornell, we thank you very much. We are out of time, but as I try to tell everybody, seek to catch someone doing something good every day, and fortunately, we caught you doing something good. Thanks, Cornell.
Thank you very much. Thanks, right. Alan. Thanks, Melody.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.